Hi, I'm Sophie Hagen, and this is BBC Ouch Storytelling Live from the Backyard Comedy Club in London. We recorded 6 different disabled people and people with mental health difficulties speaking on the subject of love and relationships. The one you're going to hear now is Ruby, who tells you about how her date was derailed by her dyspraxia. If you enjoy it, do check out the other podcasts on the BBC Ouch website, bbc.co.uk/ouch. And for full terms and conditions, visit bbc.co.uk/podcasts. But first, here's BBC Ouch Storytelling Live.
Hello. Well, everybody had already taken all the good disabilities, so I got left with dyspraxia. Somebody had to have it. It's a developmental coordination disorder. It's a sort of less sexy cousin of dyslexia, which you'll have heard about. So it largely affects motor control and speech and memory and information processing. So what generally happens is that I fall over a lot and I cock everything up. So just, this is warning. Watch this space. The diagnosis doesn't give you any money or drugs for it, so it was obviously pointless. But what it does do is give you an excuse if people are just having a go at you for anything and just don't like any of your behaviour. You bigot, I'm disabled. God, this... But little things that are difficult for me, things like clothes and hair and makeup and what have you. So I like wearing, you know, large elasticated clothes that don't show that I've dropped my dinner down them. And I've no excuse for my hair, obviously. But in doctors, I've been no use at all. I find that you go along and they blame everything on your age or your weight. Always happens. I went to one guy the other day and he was rather unpleasant. And he referred to me as a beast. I was quite unhappy. It wasn't until later on I realised he was saying obese. And I went, oh yeah, I just knew that, that's fine. So I love living alone because, you know, people. And so my favourite activity is sitting alone on the sofa in my pants watching telly. All about that. So I can't actually keep pets or houseplants alive, so I certainly can't keep love and affection alive. It's far too much commitment generally. And the other day I had an amazing Marks and Spencer's Valentine's Day meal deal for two, but they only include one bottle of wine, so think about it. Obviously it's for one person. A lot of heavy drinkers in the audience. So to that end, I thought I went online, I did a bit of online dating. And then it plays on your insecurities. It's a terrifying thing to do, because you're waiting there to meet this date and you've written your profile and you're thinking, well, maybe taking 10 years off my age was a bit much. And I did use really flattering photos and I did pretend I wasn't actually mental. So thinking, I was a bit worried about what they're going to think. And you think, oh, they're going to think, they're going to see me. You think, oh God, look, she's large, she's awkward, this is ridiculous. I mean, you think, no, he'll be all right, because people are better than that. And the mainstream media would have us believe that everybody's shallow and excessive with how you look. And I thought, but I find that's on my experience with real people. Real people will see behind the mess that you often are and think, no, you're a beautiful person, you're a real person, I like that. So I thought, I was feeling buoyed up about it. So I see him coming out the station, I clock him, and I think, oh, you minger. So I thought, oh no. It's actually me that's the awful shallow person. I thought, I've forgotten that. So, but online dates generally can work in your favour because people are invested in them. And they want to be there, you know, they're trapped effectively, which is good news for me. And often with dyspraxia, I come over as very loud and sweary and scary initially. If I don't know people especially, I just get a bit overpowering and overwhelming. And so people do get nervous around me. And this is what they've said. Obviously it's nonsense and I will fight anyone that says otherwise. But so, and this is just a classic, apparently, dyspraxia symptom I hadn't realised. I used to think I was just this fascinating personality with all these quirks, and it was so interesting. I discovered I'm nothing but a list of symptoms. And I was very upset. I've nothing below it. I'm entirely two-dimensional. I'm just a condition. So this date's looking a bit nervous already, and that's before the content of what I've said has become apparent. This is just the presentation alone is scaring the guy. So I thought, well, go to the nearest pub. Traipsing along, so I'm going along as I usually do, stumbling over, tripping over, talking loudly, waving my arms around, hitting lampposts. And then we try and get into the pub, and the bouncer bars me. No, so you're not coming in. I said, what? And the guy says, no, you're obviously too drunk. You can't come in. No, I do get this a lot. Not always when I'm drunk, obviously. But so I'm saying to the guy, so I thought I'll argue with him, because as we all know, arguing with the bouncer is obviously, you obviously win. You're never going to lose that argument talking to bouncers. So I say to him, mate, like, come on, seriously, this is the Wetherspoons, seriously. I said, B, you know, people have been in here caning it since 8 a.m. And C, this is because I'm Scotch, isn't it? You just assume I've been drinking all morning. And D, and I cannot emphasise this enough, it's a bloody Wetherspoons. But this is not going well, as you might imagine. So I'm not being gracious in defeat. I was just swearing and stomping off and having to go gym under my breath and gently vindicating him. You know, just shouldn't be allowed in. So I'm tripsing along. Date says, no, it's fine. No, we're going to carry on. It's the grim determination to have a good time. That's that grim determination at the start of a family day out when you think, no, we're going to have a good time, and everybody cries and it's just awful and you wish you hadn't bothered. So we're going along. But I was thinking I was looking quite good because I'm in my heels. I'd put my high heels on specially. So I know I can't walk in high heels. Can't barely stand in high heels, but this doesn't stop me. I'm in complete denial. And I think this is what I can do. I buy loads and I have them on bookshelves at home. But every now and again I wear them and I have a go, and they're fairly orthopedic looking, flat, sonky ones. But I thought, no, I'm still doing it. This still counts. And I imagine it makes me look like some girly, delicate little flower, and all sanguine and sexy, when not like the angry tractor that I usually look like. Again, I fondly imagine. But so inevitably, though, we're going along and I fall. And I don't fall in the way I think I would fall in my head, like the little, I fell. Oh, that's how I'd like to fall. No. I come along, I stack it on the pavement. There's a face on the pavement, arse in the air, lambs flailing, collateral damage, people screaming, swearing madly, like a Starsky and Hutch car chase. I've come into these boxes, they're going flying, and chickens have suddenly come out of nowhere, and the men carrying panes of glass across the road. It's just a terrible mess of everything. Everybody's aware of it. And my top tip for this, because I've got an MO, because I fall over so many times, is don't style it out. Just stay on the ground. Because otherwise, everybody just mocks. People just stand around going, filming it for YouTube. Going, that's hilarious. You stay down, they start to worry. Oh, hang on. Might actually be seriously hurting. How bad will I look if I'm laughing? So you stay on that floor, listen to it all around you. You've got your pride, stay on the ground. So I get, so Dave kind of picks me up off the ground, and I'm quite galled that he didn't prevent it happening in the first place. I'm already resentful. But fortunately, this is taking place outside a pub, so obvious course of action. Again, big fan of pubs. Big fan of sitting down. Sitting down is great. So inside the pub, I go in, and the landlady sees me coming in bleeding everywhere, and she comes over with rolls of toilet paper, trying to stem the bleeding and save the furniture. And so, but I wasn't too badly hurt, because I'm so scarred. My knees are nothing but scar tissue from years of falling over. I'm slowly building an exoskeleton of armour of nothing but scar tissue and stitches everywhere. So you can't actually hurt me at all, like Terminator. So we send someone off for TCP. So I'm sitting there in the pub, blood, tissues, sort of pouring this over my leg, because that adds to an ambience of a sexy date, I find. So then at this point, I am drinking. So, you know, within seconds, I'm crying into the wing. I think it's so difficult. This is awful. Why is this happening to me? And this part, remember, then you're meant to chat, aren't you? It's a small talk conversation, which I can't do. I don't understand. So I tend to write. I'd written little cues up my arm and tried to pass it off as a tribal tattoo. So I'm chatting away. What do you do? Where do you live? Pause for response. So shit. That was every bit as scintillating as you might imagine. So we decided to leave, and I think it was a left of our own volition, which is always a win, right? Not being asked to leave or anything. So that's, top time. Couldn't ask for better than that. So then I just get back home and try and forget all about it. Watch cartoons, sit on the sofa in my pants, watching telly. Equilibrium is restored. Much happier again. I'm pretty much accepting that I'm going to die penniless and alone, and I'm well on course for that. Achievable goals, I find. So then a few days later, I hear from Dave. He texts me. He wants to see me again. Why? Why would you put yourself through that? What sort of person would want to experience all that again? What sort of self-esteem problems do you have, man? It's absolutely ridiculous. I think, God, I don't know anyone that wants to go out with me again. What a loser. And that'll be one of the many, many reasons I've been single for 10 years. Thank you for laughing at my misfortune. I'm very glad that you did.
That was BBC Ouch Storytelling Live. If you enjoyed it, do visit bbc.co.uk/ouch and have a listen to the other podcasts from the night.